The views expressed on the Buckmaster Radio program are not necessarily the views of Bill Buckmaster Communications, LLC, or its sponsors.
Hello, everybody. Bill Buckmaster, along with Tom Fairbanks, Tom
Engineering. I've got to get the music down. Tim Steller is rocking out on this thing and just drowning us all out.
Little play guitar that Tim is playing with here. And anyway, Tom Fairbanks, engineering and producing our show on the other side of the glass. Together we welcome you to the final Friday of September, Friday, September 28th, 2018. We're live at AM 1030 KVOI, Tucson's Voice. Of course, all of our programs going back to the first week of January 2011, all are archived at buckmastershow.com. Our media partners that we like to say thank you to on Friday, but we could certainly say thank you every day to them because we do appreciate the support. People like Dylan Smith at TucsonSentinel.com, Dan Shear at the Green Valley News and Sahorita Sun. Tucson Media Group, their portfolio includes the Tucson Weekly and Inside Tucson Business. They're a supporter of ours. Friday Roundtable today featuring Friday Focus Interview featuring Tucson Mayor Jonathan Rothschild. Mayor, how are you today?
I'm doing well, Bill. I'm doing very well. Thanks for having me.
Good to see you. Joining us in studio is Tim Steller, columnist for the Southern Arizona's largest newspaper, the Arizona Daily Star. Tim, how are you?
I am pretty distracted.
Well, get your mind where it should be right now.
Let's wait just a second. Yeah. I take Tim's natural state to be distracted, and now he's more distracted?
Yeah, more distracted.
What's going on?
Well, he's very much thinking about what's going on in D.C. But right now, Tim, you need to focus on the city of Tucson.
Where?
Speaking of, you know, Mayor, I know yesterday you were talking about this pathway to purchase, this home buyers program. We had Dr. Trujillo of TUSD on the show yesterday announcing some very good news that of the 81 schools in his portfolio at TUSD, 20 will be showing a letter grade improvement when that is officially announced, I believe, next week. That's good news. He also said teachers seem to be pretty happy, but, you know, they don't make all the great money in the world. They want to buy a home too.
Yeah, well, it's excellent news that we're seeing those great improvements within TUSD. The city does rely in part, a big part on its strength from having good schools. And tomorrow we're going to try to help that situation. We are having our fifth home buyer expo at Catalina High School from 10 to 2. It's featuring, we're inviting all the TUSD employees and teachers. And there's a couple new programs out there. Pathways to Purchase has come back, not quite as big as it was the first time when we were able to put over close to 1,371 new families and individuals in homes in Tucson and South Tucson. But the program has gotten a new set of money from the Arizona Department of Housing. And we had Dr. Trujillo at our press conference this morning. And what he talked about was why this was so important to TUSD is that he has a lot of great teachers in TUSD, but there are people that have been there 15, 20 years, and they're master teachers, and they love teaching. And then they get these young people, 1 to 3 years teaching, who also love teaching and also want to make a career of it. But the money is such, if they get a family or
they can't get into a home.
And so this is a program. It has a up to $20,000 down payment program with credit counseling and assuring that everybody, you have to have a credit score of 640. But if he can get his young teachers invested in the city, invested in the school district, in buying a home, then his chances of keeping those teachers long term is much improved, and our chances of having even a better education system are much improved.
And that home expo is actually 10 till 1.
I'm sorry, thank
that's
you.
That's fine, at Catalina High School, and that will be tomorrow. So sounds like a good way to get some people into the home market. Tim, ready?
Ready for what?
How about a question?
Oh, okay. Yeah, sure. No, so, I mean, it's just addressing, what's the problem that this is addressing? Is it the teacher thing, or is it trying to get more home ownership in Tucson? And what's going on here?
It's principally for home ownership. This is our fifth one, and the whole community's invited. And so we have done one with City of Tucson and County employees. We've done one with Tucson Medical Center employees. We have done one with University of Arizona employees, and also the unions, PMA, Area Labor Federation. And the idea is to try to get folks into housing. But we've also tried to focus on specific employer targets. And as you can see, there have generally been some of the bigger employers. But they're open to the whole community. And what you learn at these things, Tim, or what I've learned at these things, is that there's all sorts of programs out there that people don't know about. You can go to my website, MayorRothschild.com, and hit initiatives and go to home buyers, and you'll see a lot of programs. A lot of them are done through the Tucson IDA, Industrial Development Authority, and the Pima County Industrial Development Authority. And they're really ways to assist people to home ownership in a responsible manner. You know, we don't want people getting into homes and losing them. We went through that cycle, and that was as bad as it can be. But there are ways to get this done, and we know that when we have higher home ownership in neighborhoods, we have more stability, we have better care for the homes, and our communities improve. So it's really about home ownership. And I know, Tim, you've written a lot, and it's a complicated topic, you know, which we deal with every day. Do you want market rate housing, but as the market rate rises, what is affordable housing, and how do we mix that in sometimes with even subsidized housing?
There are two propositions on the ballot, and one of them we've talked a lot about, Proposition 407, but one that is really under the radar screen is the second one. It's Proposition 408, and it has to do with city elections. I've seen very little on this, very little talked about in the news, very little written about it. What is it?
Well, I'll be happy to talk about Proposition 408 so long as you let me talk about Proposition 407.
Sure, of course.
Because that's where my heart is right now. But Proposition 408 is putting on the ballot, as Phoenix, City of Phoenix just did, whether we run an even to the city elections are in even years or odd years. There's a few cities left in Arizona that still run in odd years. Tucson is one of them. Phoenix just voted by a margin, I think, of 73% to 27% to go to even years. I'm not taking an official position because it sort of involves me in a sense, but I can give you the policy reasons for, you know, both sides. And it's pretty simple. Even year elections, and what the state legislature did this year is they passed a new law that said you can run odd year elections, but if you turnout isn't greater than within 25% of the even year election, you've got to go to odd year election. Even year election,
yeah.
Because you know turnout is probably our number one priority, and it is true that you're going to get greater turnout in an even year election.
I mean,
it's a presidential year election. The cost eventually for the whole community will go down. You have one less election. There's a bit of an issue of voter fatigue. We have an election in Tucson every year. And the ability for folks to run either state legislature back to municipal or municipal back up to state legislature does become easier where you have, you know, everybody on the same cycle. The reason for odd year elections is that the focus is on the municipal election. And so people can take a look at that and that alone. And it is important that people make that decision and make their policy decision based on. I think those are the elements. People can probably think of other things.
I mean, this thing of crowded elections is is a real threat. I see this year we've got some massively important statewide initiatives that are barely being talked about.
Right, the propositions.
If we had city elections also on top of that, you know, no one would pay attention at all. Mm-hmm. So I could see that. I can see both sides of the argument.
I can see both sides. I think ultimately you're probably going to run some way to even your elections, but how we get there, we'll see.
And as far as the parks measure, you're out and about every day. You're at events. What are people talking about?
Well, people have been very positive about this. And again, I think it's a result of the work we've done over the years. But the word's got to get out. So what it is, it's a $225 million investment in our park system. We have 128 parks in the city. This will touch 100 of them. It will touch every pool, every playground, every tennis court. We can do this without, it's much like the county's trying to do it, without raising any tax rates, because we're using secondary tax rates, and over the next 10 years, we have a declining debt service. So we can fill this investment with that, and actually over those 9-10 years you'll see your tax rate go down while we fix our parks. The two transformational parts of this, which are just to me a crowning achievement quite frankly, is we're going to be able to provide 80,000 more hours of playing time for our youth soccer, baseball, softball, and football, whoever plays on our fields, by adding lighting. It'll be all LED lighting. And at the same time, we're replacing irrigation, we're replacing toilets, we're modernizing and saving energy efficiencies there. And we're adding 130 miles of protected pathways and greenways for bicyclists and pedestrians. And we're going to connect parks to parks to schools, parks to business districts. For instance, Arroyo Chico to downtown, we're going to connect Reed Park to six other parks, to four other schools, to the 4th Avenue Business District. And we're doing that across the city. It's going to let people get out and walk and bike more in safety. It will help us. It will not solve, but it will help us with our bike and ped fatality problem, and we all know we have one. And if we can convince people that they can get places without having to get on the street, that's going to be helpful. And we're going to connect to the loop. You know, we've got this loop, but this is going to give us the spokes. We're getting really favorable response. We've gotten the endorsements from the Southern Arizona Home Builders, the Tucson Association of Realtors, the Chamber of Commerce. Jim Click is in, along with people like Living Streets Alliance, Chicanos por la Casa, TMC. It's really getting community support, but you got to get the word out to the community.
All right. And Tim, you've hosted the program now for me, and you know where I'm going next.
I think to the ovens, the back Mona's. Oven of where Mona's is.
Yeah, that's it.
Yep.
I'm going to go to Mona's.
Yep.
Mona's is the home. The Danish bakery is the home of the Danish Kringle. Have you had the Kringle yet, Tim?
No.
Well, are you planning to?
Yes.
Good.
Yes.
Tim, last time we were here, you and me both were supposed to get over.
I know. Mona is located in the northeast corner of Swan and Sunrise. Go by right now, have lunch. And when you order the sandwich, oh my goodness, the variety of breads that you will have to choose from. All of those breads coming out of the oven just a few hours ago. So, I mean, it's there for you.
Yep.
Go to my website, buckmastershow.com, for a link to Mona's Danish Bakery and a link to all of our great sponsors here on the program. We'll be right back. This is Bill Buckmaster. I'm passionate about travel, visiting over 100 countries in all 50 states. And when I'm ready to take off, I fly from Tucson International Airport with 9 airlines flying nonstop to 22 destinations and easy one-stop connections I can get virtually anywhere in the world. It's close by, convenient with competitive airfares, and there's no long drive coming back home after a long trip. Travel smart and fly Tucson. Check out flytucson.com. In case you haven't heard, a recent state performance audit says the Regional Transportation Authority is meeting performance and budget expectations on voter-approved RTA plan delivery. Now in its 12th year of plan implementation, the RTA is committed to delivering the remaining projects with the community's support to improve our regional transportation system. Working together for a better future, visit rtamobility.com. Family-owned Jam Culinary Concepts and its family of restaurants has you covered for your special event. Jam caters anytime, anywhere, any size group, and any type of cuisine. Vero Amore, authentic Neapolitan pizza, and Noble Hops. Craft beer and fine fare are synonymous with quality. Call 954-1468 or log on to jamculinaryconcepts.com.
Hi, it's Suzanne Miller from your Better Business Bureau serving Southern Arizona, here to remind you to start with trust and look for the BBB accredited seal when searching for a product or service. Did you know you can request a quote directly from any of our accredited businesses? With over 3,000 accredited businesses in Southern Arizona, you will find a business you can trust. Whether you need a product or service from one company or an entire industry, go to tucson.bbb.org and start your search today.
Did you know that you can check out complete digital editions of popular magazines with your Pima County Public Library card? From Arizona Highways to Yoga Journal and everything in between, the library is your source for entertainment. Visit library.pima.gov and browse the e-library to start checking out your favorite magazines today. That's library.pima.gov. The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun cover two of Arizona's most desirable communities. The newspapers reach more than 75% of the communities each week, with a combined population of more than 50,000. The Green Valley News also publishes a dozen magazines each year, and both newspapers publish up-to-the-minute local news online at gvnews.com. The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun, it's all right here.
This is Bill Buckmaster. Join us Monday during the noon hour for the Monday Political Face-Off featuring commentators Vince Robigo and Jim Kelly, plus our monthly visit with retired U.S. Army Chief of Staff General John Wickham. Buckmaster, noon to 1 on AM 1030 KVOI, The Voice. Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show, our Friday Focus interview today. Mayor Rothschild is with us. Tim Steller is here. Tim took a few minutes away from his extremely busy schedule to get ready for his column that's coming up on Sunday.
Yeah, I mean, Jeff Flake really messed it up because I was ready to really give it to him in the column this coming Sunday. And then he did one of his Flake maneuvers today and changed things in the Senate Judiciary Committee.
By asking for the week?
By asking for a week
extension.
Yeah, we can talk about it after the next break, but my goodness.
Yeah, all right. Mayor, the city manager, Mr. Ortega, has talked about he has requested an adjustment in his contract, and the council met an executive session. And of course, I'm not going to ask you what happened in the executive session, because that is a personnel matter. But this will come before the council, I assume.
It will. Our manager is a professional manager. He's doing an excellent job for us. That is not an easy job. You deal with every department. And
you're managing a budget of
$1.3 billion.
And you have a portfolio of how many employees?
Just under 5,000 employees. So it is, I think, you know, it's a municipal corporation. I think it is the largest corporation in Pima County. And so, and he does a good job at it. And so he came forward and asked for a very minimal adjustment to his contract. And we had a discussion, and that'll be coming either at the next meeting or the meeting after in open session what that adjustment would look like.
Okay.
So overall, what are your thoughts, though, on his performance? He's been around for, I can't remember, 4 years or so?
Yeah. He likes to tell us that he's now the longest-serving manager in since Baby Joe Valdez.
Wow.
And part of this for us, and I think as a council we had a recognition of it, is sometimes it's continuity that's important. And just having that same voice there, you're not going to agree with it every day. And certainly as council, we in many things get the last say. But it's very important to have someone who, along with the mayor and council, can set a vision. His job is to implement it. And it's not an easy job. We do not, there's still, given the circumstances in the state, there's still not discretionary money sitting around the city to go out and do a lot of, fun things. We've had to go to the voters for our roads. We've gone back for our roads and our police and fire. Now we're going for our parks. And that's really, we have to go to the voters. And then beyond that, it is a constrained budget.
Yeah, it's a very tight budget.
And he does a good job, I think. I think if you asked all seven council people on just about any day, they would tell you that they're very pleased with his performance.
Let's go to the live line. 790-2040 is how you reach us here on the Buckmaster Show. And Chuck has reached out, and he does want to talk about the proposition dealing with parks, and that is 407. Go ahead, Chuck.
Thank you, Bill. Mr. Mayor, when it comes to parks, it's my understanding, and you can correct me if I'm wrong, that the current budget is about $28 million to maintain the parks. And as far as personnel goes, you've only got about 50% of the required people you need to maintain these parks currently. Before you say anything, sir, keep this in mind, because if this proposition goes through on the parks, you're going to be building three brand new parks. You're going to be building I don't know how many miles of bicycle paths and greenways. Where do you expect to get the money to maintain these in the future?
Okay, thank you,
Chuck. Very good question. Well, first of all, for the bicycle paths and greenways, all that will be contracted out, hopefully to local people. That's what we've done with our roads. And so that work is not done by our local parks people, nor will the new construction. All the new construction is things that will be really pouring money back into our local economy. But the question of maintenance is a good one. It's one that we've had to really put some attention into. And so we've got two ready sources that we've identified and budgeted for future park maintenance. One is we have a service line warranty program, and if you're familiar with that, your water lines, we cover from point A to point B, but from point B to point C, that's on the homeowner. You can buy an insurance policy, and that money, part of that comes to the city. We're going to put that money towards park maintenance. We also, because this is connectivity money with the trails, we can use some HERF money, and we've seen some increased HERF money, so we can take a good amount of that. The other part of that is we're actually going to see some decrease in maintenance costs because of the fact that we're changing out our lighting to LED lighting from traditional lighting. We're changing out our irrigation systems. We're changing out our toilets. And so you are correct that is something that we've got to put an emphasis on. We have a plan for that, and I think we're going to be good with it. And it's a good question.
Yeah, okay.
Specifically, it's the thing that seems to lack often now is maintenance of the parks. So you're saying that even with additional parks, you will have the people to not just mow the grass, but to maintain the bathrooms especially and that kind of thing?
Yep. And part of that is by doing this, we can put a re-emphasis on parks. Remember what you're doing. There are three new smaller parks. I mean, this is a community that's underparked, But we've had a long recognition that we can't be putting in a whole lot of new parks just for the fact that we don't have a lot of extra people. But one of the things, so essentially what you're doing is a makeover of the parks. And so in some sense, there'll be less maintenance. But you're right, we want to keep that maintenance up. And so we identified some additional funds so we can do additional maintenance.
So you said there'd be savings from LED lighting?
Yep.
After conservation, right?
Yeah, and water, irrigation, all
water
that.
Conservation, yeah, certainly. Yeah. All right, Matthew has been waiting. Go ahead, Matthew. You are next.
Yeah, Mr. Mayor, first of all, congratulations. I mean, the city is absolutely hot right now with economic development, one announcement after another. I think the governor needs an apartment down here. He has to come down here so much to make announcements. So we also got a good write-up in the Times. But as you may know, the city is no longer in the sales tax business, and it was taken over by the state. With regards to that, I finally figured out how to work their website better.
You would be one of the first.
I got kicked out a lot of times, and my password, I keep forgetting it. But I finally started to figure it out a little bit better. But how's the city doing with regards to keeping track of its money? And in regards to sales tax, how are we doing on repurposing, with regards to the big block, the Sears and things like that, changing out into new types of businesses.
No, Matthew, that's
house sales tax.
Yeah, no, that's
it.
That's a good question. Our sales tax is up. I think it's up because the economy is doing somewhat better. But we had a lot of concerns about the state taking over our collections. We've been able to work with them, and we've not seen any bad bump to this point. We were concerned our money would come late or it wouldn't come, and right now it looks like that's all proceeding in a good way. You are correct that as people move away from bricks and mortar retail, that sales tax is going to go down. And in fact, even as the economy is improved and we've seen an increase in revenues, we do have a sense that we haven't received the revenue we might have in 15 years ago. And so that's a big challenge for cities, not just Tucson, but cities across the country. Online taxation, the Supreme Court of the United States has just said that that's something we can do. The state legislature will see what they do in the next session, but so far they've responded by saying, oh, we'll take a look at that, but only if we can keep it revenue neutral. Mm-hmm. Well, I'm not sure how that's going to play out for cities.
What's the point if it's revenue neutral, right?
That's number one. Number two, we are just going to have to look potentially down the road at other revenue sources, something that's on the ballot this time, which the League of Cities has come out strongly against, is this idea that services can never be taxed. I can tell you there has never been a bill, to my knowledge, certainly proposed by the municipalities, to tax services. But what the municipalities have said is, look, when you make a constitutional amendment like that, you're basically taking that off the table forever, and we don't know how the economy is going to change. And in other states, they have done some things where they've taxed services and taken other things off the table, but really tried to make it so that your revenue stream can meet your expense stream. And so I think that's proposition. I'll probably get it wrong. 305?
No, you're talking about 126. This is the services tax.
The services
126.
Tax, yeah, 126. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So you're right. That's going to be a challenge for us.
Let's see if we can get one more question in. This one's about the county's road bond proposition. Mary Ellen, go ahead.
Yes, I would really like to vote for that so we can finally get some things done on our roads. But I'm so afraid, is there anything in there that they won't spend it on something else like they have done so many, 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 many times?
Okay.
And keep the money for the roads and the infrastructure and not be pulling it out for something else? What do they have to keep them from doing that?
So, in short, they have put in language that says this can only be spent on roads. I can tell you that at the city, we've passed twice road bonds, and we've said exactly what roads we're going to do and when. The counties is a little different because it's residential roads, and those are a lot harder to pick out in advance. But what the county has said is that they've got a formula for distributing to each of the jurisdictions. The city would receive close to 50% of all that money for our residential roads, and we can use it even with what we've done so far. And then what the city will do, I can tell you, and I can't speak for the other jurisdictions, but the city will use the same methods that we have in the past. We will use a citizens committee, and we will publish and schedule what roads we're going to do and when and what they're going to cost. And I think given the deficit that still remains for roads in our community, it's worth the support.
All right, we're going to have to wrap it up right there. It's 12:34 on the Buckmaster Show. Mayor, thank you very much. I hope you have a great weekend. I hope there's a very good turnout for tomorrow over at the Home Buyer Expo, Saturday, getting underway 10 a.m., ending at 1 in the afternoon at Catalina High School.
Thank you, Bill, and thanks for having me. And Tim, keep checking out what's going on in the community.
Thank you.
And Tim will stick around, and he'll be joined by his colleague at the Arizona Daily Star, who did a little TV time this week involved with that debate, that gubernatorial debate. Joe Ferguson coming up on the roundtable. We'll be right back. Noble Hops is Tucson's original gastro pub, serving an impressive menu of craft beer and fine fare. Choose from more than 175 beers from around the world, plus wine and a full bar. Enjoy delicious soups, salads, burgers, sandwiches, hearty entrees, and more. Craft beer, fine fare, great service, and stunning views. Noble Hops, perfect for lunch, dinner, happy hour, late night, and any time in between. Open daily at La Cañada and Lambert Lane in Oro Valley.
Hey, this is Ken Flower of Arizona Party Rental. It's that time. U of A tailgating. I gotta have one of those burgers and one of those dogs, and who's under this Arizona Party Rental tent? You look familiar.
That's right, I'm Sheriff Napier.
Gosh, it's great to see you.
Hey, you're Ken Flower. Aren't you wanted?
I'm speechless.
That's right, everybody wants Arizona Party Rental.
Hey, you can join the party too. Arizona Party Rental, just west of Alvernon on Speedway, or online at arizonapartyrental.net.
At Saba's Fall Home and Garden Show, you can landscape it, light it, floor it or store it, open it, close it, snooze it or choose it. Saba's Fall Home and Garden Show, October 5th, 6th, and 7th, with free TCC parking. Brought to you by Kinetico, Long Realty, Mattress Firm, and Russet Southwest Corporation Heating and Air Conditioning. Discount coupons at sabahomeshow.com. It's Saba's Fall Home and Garden Show, the best home show ever built.
This is Bill Buckmaster. I love travel and flying from Tucson International Airport. And when you fly Tucson, you're standing up for Tucson. When more people fly Tucson, airlines respond with more flights. And with more flights, more travelers can get here to conduct important business. It's a win for the region, and it's a win for you in time saved and money saved not traveling to an airport 2 hours away. Travel smart and fly Tucson. Check out flytucson.com.
Southern Arizona is home to one of the world's most trusted sources of information on medicines. The Credible Meds website is visited each day by over 2,000 people from more than 60 countries. You too can learn how to personalize your medications and take control of your health care. Visit CredibleMeds.org today and join Bill Buckmaster each month as he and Dr. Ray Woosley, founder of Credible Meds, give you practical tips on how to get the most from your medications.
If you're searching for that special one-of-a-kind item, may I suggest Adobe House Antiques. It has a vast collection and variety of antiques, lighting, and fine art. In addition to the interior space, a large outdoor location offers an extensive collection of vintage patio furniture, exterior lighting, and ironwork. Come see Penny at 2700 North Campbell, 325-9439, or on the web at adobehouseantiques.com. This is Bill Buckmaster. Green Things has been the place for all things green for the Buckmaster household for many years. From 2-inch succulents to 10-foot tall palms and desert trees, Green Things has it all on 13 acres and 33 greenhouses full of plants, pottery, and gardening supplies. Visit Green Things at 3384 East River Road by the Rito Riverwalk and on the web at greenthingsaz.com. Family-owned Jam Culinary Concepts and its family of restaurants has you covered for your special event. Jam caters anytime, anywhere, any size group, and any type of cuisine. Vero Amore, authentic Neapolitan pizza, and Noble Hops. Craft beer and fine fare are synonymous with quality. Call 954-1468 or log on to jamculinaryconcepts.com. Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show. It's time for the roundtable portion of the Friday Hour. Tim Steller sticks around. Tim is, if you don't know, he writes, well, he's the primary columnist. I guess primary.
We call it Metro columnist.
Okay, that, yeah, not primary. Yeah. That was, shouldn't have used those.
Shame
terms.
On you, Bill Buckmaster.
Yeah, I mean, he's a well-known guy around town. For the Arizona Daily Star.
Yep.
And he's also, he did his first solo for me, sitting in for me while I was up in Alaska playing with husky dogs.
Yeah, that was a fun day.
And that was a good day. He had all, I think Joe, well, I know Joe was, Joe Ferguson is with us in studio too, is participating. And that's always that's kind of a lot to talk about show the day after the election.
We'll be doing it again soon.
Yeah. Be coming up soon. Actually, I'm going to put Sarah, Garrett Gasson, and you together with me on the day after the election. We'll have a lot to talk about. Joe, how are you, sir?
I'm doing well. Glad to be back.
It's good to see you. You were down at my old stomping grounds, down at Channel 6, down in the basement, where I spent 22 years waiting to see the sunlight. And so... It's hard when you're in the basement, though, to have a window.
So Joe was there as a panelist
for
a gubernatorial debate on Tuesday. And how was that, Joe? How did you think the debate went?
I think it went well, but I have to say that I was really surprised by how many times we asked a question and got a soundbite rather than an answer.
Yeah, I'll give you an example that just shocked me. I wrote about it in today's column, but when... I guess it was Steve Goldstein said, you know, to David Garcia, if you don't support ICE and you don't support a border wall, who's going to secure the border, secure Arizona residents? And the answer should have been, well, we have, you know, more than 4,000 Border Patrol agents. That's not to mention the inspectors at the ports. That's who does the job primarily. But instead, it was straight back to, like, I think he went back to talking about 24/7 patrols on the, which is his talking point related to the border. It's just that kind of instinctive retreat to the talking point that's so annoying, but that's what the politicians are trained to do.
And they were very well trained for that. I mean, there were outbursts. There were five times he mentions fact check Garcia. And so.
The who, Ducey?
Yeah.
Yeah, obviously.
So, I mean, it was really hard to try to get good quality answers out of them. And as far as we know, this is the last debate for the two gentlemen before ballots hit
That's
on
it.
October 9th.
Yep, two debates.
So I was impressed in the sense that I thought on Monday, David Garcia actually kind of hit his points in a more kind of comprehensible way than on Tuesday. Maybe it was because of the diversity of the questioners or the questions, but you know, Garcia has, I think, one strong argument about Ducey, which is, as he says, that Ducey is a, quote, follower, not a leader. And I think that's a fair critique in the sense, as I mentioned today's column, that on many issues, Ducey has been kind of not present at all or opposed, and then when public opinion changes, suddenly he's out there leading the parade. And I, you know, I don't know if people care about that, but I thought that was a decent, a valid critique. Let me put it that way.
Yeah.
What do you think, Joe?
I stay out of the opinions aspect of these kind of things, but I really wish we had more time with the governor's mm-hmm. candidates. I wish there were more debates. I wish we'd see them down here in Tucson a lot. It feels like this entire campaign is being held out of a suburb in Phoenix somewhere. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, we've got a million people down here, and most of them can vote and should be able to vote, and they're going to decide things from sound bites, which is unfortunate.
Well, there are very few of these debates anyway. I mean, it used to be there were at least, on a gubernatorial basis like that, you'd have about six or seven. But now it's pretty much, we're going to do AZPM, public broadcasting, here in Southern Arizona, and we're going to do Channel 8, which is Phoenix. Phoenix public broadcasting covering Phoenix and, of course, the northern part of the state. So they figure then they've kind of got, they've done their bit and they're covered.
Yeah. No. No. What's the status of the senatorial debates?
We don't have one. I mean, there's October 15th. There's two debates scheduled for the same time. McSally wants to do one on CNN, and Kirsten wants to do one with AZPM, which the Daily Star would be a partner of, mm-hmm. and neither of the two are meeting in the middle anywhere. So it'll be an interesting thing to see if those two will come to some kind of agreement.
Coalesced, perhaps one.
I heard yesterday that that CNN thing isn't even real, that CNN doesn't agreed that they have extended an offer for a debate. Do you know anything about that?
We know that McSally has put something out saying that they're looking for, that they've got locked in a date with CNN for the 15th, and that they're looking for an Arizona partner.
Yeah.
It hasn't progressed much past that
yet. I find
yet.
That offensive. It's like, why on earth would an Arizona candidate agree to a CNN debate? It's not about the national audience. It's about Phoenix, Tucson, Yuma, Flagstaff, Kingman, et cetera. You know, that's, I mean, granted, they all get CNN there. It grates me as a news person in Arizona.
Well, I think that you probably have a better chance of seeing it, though, on public radio or streamed from a local channel in terms of being able to access that than you would, say, a pay mm-hmm. cable channel.
Hey, did anything happen with Arizona senators today?
Yeah, I want to get to that, certainly, because you did actually bring it up during the interview with the mayor. You said that, let me see if I can quote you, you said that Flake pulled a...
Flake maneuver.
Yeah. Could you explain what's
going on? Yeah, okay, so this is, I was watching live on TV. If any of you missed it, basically they were cruising toward a committee vote in the Judiciary Committee to approve Brett Kavanaugh for the U.S. Supreme Court and move that to the floor of the Senate. And there was some movement going on in the antechambers there. People couldn't tell what was happening. It turned out what it was is that Jeff Flake and some others were talking with some of the Democrats, and they came to a very odd arrangement, I think. He wanted to ensure that there is an FBI investigation of the allegations of sexual assault or mistreatment that have been made against Brett Kavanaugh. So rather than voting, so this is the complicated, the reason mm-hmm. I call it a Flake maneuver is that there's so many compromises within compromises. So he...
Sounds flaky to me.
So he said, I agree. He told the Democrats, I agree with you, the Democrats, that I want there to be this investigation. I want it to be over within a week so we're not, you know, playing a delay game. But this is the weird part. I'm not going to vote no in committee on the nomination. Instead, I'm going to vote yes in committee, but I'm going to tell the world here that I will vote no on the floor of the Senate until there is an FBI investigation, which should occur within this week.
Hmm.
So it's a strange use of leverage, and one that opens him up to being defeated if Mitch McConnell, the Senate Majority Leader, gets enough commitments to vote yes. If McConnell gets enough commitments to vote yes without Flake, then I seriously doubt he would wait for this FBI investigation. But I guess Jeff Flake and Murkowski, one of the female senators from the North, have agreed that they are going to hold out their votes. They're not going to vote yes on the floor until an FBI investigation is completed.
Did you see the five-minute confrontation in the elevator?
I saw a piece of it. I couldn't CNN really handle it very much.
Yeah, I watched the whole thing. It was like 5.5 minutes.
What exactly happened?
They said both of them had been sexually assaulted and confronted. Senator Flake, it was a very angry confrontation. I mean, Senator Flake just said, thank you, and said, I'll have a statement. And I guess his statement was about what you were just, because he was on his way up.
Yeah, he had already said he was going to vote to confirm Kavanaugh via a written statement.
But it was an incredibly intense 5 minutes, very kind of unusual to see.
Riveting.
Uncomfortable, and I think that deliberately so on the part of the people who confronted him.
Yeah. So, you know, getting back to the race concerning McSally and Sinema, you had I believe your column was it Sunday's paper, Tim?
Or
Wednesday?
Gosh. Yeah.
The steady diet of attack ads. You know, you keep wondering every one of these election cycles, can these attack ads get any dirtier or whatever, and they'd seem to.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know if they're dirtier, but they're certainly more pervasive. The people from Defend Arizona, which is one of the big outside groups running ads for against Sinema, defend their ad, which claims that she favored reduced sentences for Johns who use child prostitutes.
Mm-hmm.
They say, well, hey, you know, nothing we've said is false. You know, this just sets the record straight. And, I mean, it's, you know, they quote her accurately, but I think the fact is the impression left is a bit misleading. But more importantly, maybe, there is a lot, maybe we hear this every time, but there is a lot of public sentiment of disgust toward these ads. And, you know, a friend of mine said...
But they still run them, so somebody must be thinking they're effective, right?
Yeah, or, I think you're right, but people who have a stake in this, they want to do something, mm-hmm. and this is the thing they know how to do. And that might be part of it, that it's just what they how they know how to play this game.
There's an entire industry set up for this for every 2 years.
Yes, sure.
It's a huge growth industry. And we're going to talk to one of the experts the Friday before the election. And Joe, you're actually going to be involved in the questioning of Kate Kensky. Dr. Kensky is very well-known University of Arizona communications professor, and she studies this whole area of ads. And she learned from one of the best, her dad, Dr. Kensky, really studied. He's been studying these ads going back for like decades.
Yeah, I was a student of Hank Kensky's.
Hank Kensky,
He was great and is great. And he was also John Kyle's chief of staff for a while.
Right,
so,
right. So
she has a very proud lineage.
Yeah, maybe he can rejoin Kyle's staff. Now that Kyle's in there for a few months.
Yeah. So anyway, we'll be trying to get to the bottom of, you know, what's the latest thinking? Do these things, I don't know, who are they appealing to? Why spend all this money on these crazy ads?
I think there's just money to be had.
Yeah, there's money to be spent, and you know, they think it works. They think, and they maybe this is going to be the case that proves that theory wrong.
Maybe, I don't know. All right, Tim and Joe, anything I should know about and our listeners should know about the paper coming up tomorrow and Sunday?
My colleague Hank Stevens has a great piece about declining enrollment at TUSD and how that's going to hurt programs going forward.
Hank might also have another pretty good piece coming out that's of a political nature, I understand. Watch your mobile phones and
digital devices
for that one.
Okay.
I'm going to be trying to, so I was going to make hay with Jeff Flake, as I said previously. And I'm also interested in John Kyle's role in this.
Okay.
I have no idea what I'm doing now because of how things happened today.
You better be headed up to Mona's to let Steve and the gang maybe give you some ideas up there. And
or
have
a Kringle.
Have a Kringle and a cup of strong coffee, have a sandwich, and then sort it all out. Joe, thank you very much. Good to see you. And, of course, Tim, as usual. Thank you. We'll
thank
be right
you,
back.
Bill.
The Regional Transportation Authority funds projects to help make our transportation system safe, reliable, and efficient. Improve regional mobility is important for economic vitality for businesses and families. The RTA continues to finance construction work for 6 new roadway projects scheduled in 2018. For more information on RTA projects, visit rtamobility.com. The RTA is delivering its promise to you. Vero Amore is Tucson's only certified authentic Neapolitan wood-fired pizza, where every flavorful pizza, pasta, panini, and salad is homemade using the finest local and imported ingredients. Vero Amore, Plaza Palomino and on Dove Mountain Boulevard in Marana, plus a full catering menu and mobile pizza truck for parties and events. Vero Amore on the web at veroamore.com.
Did you know that you can check out complete digital editions of popular magazines with your Pima County Public Library card? From Arizona Highways to Yoga Journal and everything in between, the library is your source for entertainment. Visit library.pima.gov and browse the e-library to start checking out your favorite magazines today. That's library.pima.gov.
As a small business owner, I appreciate the services of a top-notch certified public accountant. That's why Michael C. Flowers of Flowers, Rieger & Associates is the CPA firm of the Buckmaster Show. Michael's a former Small Business Leader of the Year in Tucson. He'll professionally handle all of your accounting needs and tax preparation services. Flowers, Rieger & Associates, 6125 East Grant Road and on the web, flowersrieger.com.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. Have your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local independent nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and Pima politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
Hey, it's Matt Russell from the Buckmaster Show.
And this is Ryan Hansen from Bon Voyage Travel.
I am so pumped to be partnering with Bon Voyage on my next culinary and cocktail cruise.
This is definitely a cruise for foodies as you experience the Mediterranean on Celebrity Cruises.
And the private excursions that your team has arranged for us? I mean, come on, an Ouzo distillery tour in Greece? A food and wine day on Malta?
We'll handle everything, so all you and your guests need to do is eat, drink, and be happy.
Go to bvtravel.com/Matt Russell to learn more.
Cushman & Wakefield Picor is Tucson's leading independently owned full-service commercial real estate company. Founded in 1985, Cushman & Wakefield Picor offers leasing, sales, and property management for industrial, office, medical, retail, land, and investment properties in Tucson and Sonora, Mexico. Visit our website at picor.com for the latest news from Tucson's commercial real estate sector. That's picor.com. Call us at 748-7100. Time for Weekend Watch with Inside Tucson Business Food and Beverage columnist Matt Russell, presented by our friends in Silver City and Grant County, New Mexico, who urge you, and I second the motion, take the 3-hour drive to Southwest New Mexico. So much to do. I love this time of year over there. Oh, that greened up Gila National Forest from the summer rains. Good time to go hiking, camping, just explore historic Silver City to find all of the great places to stay in. Suggestions for wonderful recreation opportunities, please visit southwestnewmexico.org. Always a busy weekend when we bring in Matt Russell. Matt, how are you, sir?
I'm doing great. TGIF, sir.
Here we go. What's going on over at that wonderful venue, the Tohono O'Toole Park?
Yes, you know, the local food and beverage scene has recently embraced concepts like farm to table and grain to glass and those kinds of things. But tonight, it's a crop to kitchen dinner at Tohono Chul Garden Bistro. Now, this dinner is going to showcase ingredients from local purveyors within a 100-mile radius, including E&R Pork and Forbes Meat Company, San Javier Co-op Farms, and, of course, the Tohono Chul Gardens, with wine pairings from Sonoita Vineyards. Now, it starts at 5:30 tonight with a cocktail party, followed by dinner, and the entire evening is just $75 a person. Check out TohonoChulPark.org for information and tickets.
Boy, I love that. Going entirely local. Sounds cool.
Yum.
Ramen is a very big thing these days, isn't it?
It is, and fans of ramen will rejoice tomorrow night at an interactive experience dedicated to this bowl full of glory at the Casa Film Bar on Speedway. They're going to be doing a special showing of the movie Ramen Heads, which tells the story of Japan's reigning king of ramen and his obsessive approach to creating the perfect soup. And bowls of ramen will be available for sipping and slurping during the movie from the fat noodle food truck that will be on hand for the evening. It's literally dinner and a show ramen style tomorrow night at 7 at the Casa Film Bar.
We are knocking at the door of October. You know what that means.
It's get out the lederhosen, Bill. We have a month full of Oktoberfest celebrations in front of us. They all start this weekend. Events are planned up on Mount Lemmon's Ski Valley with German food and beer, music and dancing. And tomorrow, starting at noon at the Arizona Beer House on Kolb Road, they're going to have German-inspired brews, food from the House of Bratz food truck, and a stein-raising contest to kind of show off your biceps. Oktoberfest is always a sudsy celebration, so enjoy one near you this weekend.
Yeah, you'll be wearing those shorts with the leather shorts with a little vest. And what's in the column inside Tucson Business this week?
Well, tomorrow, Bill, is National Coffee Day, and I caught up with some local chefs who are actually expressing their coffee beans in cuisine. So I guess you could have your coffee and eat it, too.
There you go.
In this week's edition of Inside Tucson Business.
Good weekend. Thanks a lot, Matt.
Cheers, Bill.
All right. Very little time, but enough time always to say, hey, thanks, Tom Fairbanks, engineering and producing the show, and all of our great friends here at KVOI. I'm Bill Buckmaster. Have a great weekend.